The Lord be magnified. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 My soul magnifies the Lord. My deepest and most profound self makes large the Lord. How do you like that? My deepest and most profound self makes large the Lord. Basically expresses the immense gratitude, deep appreciation for God and all that God means to us and does for us and gives to us. It is the fullest expression of one's relationship to God. If you've got a handle on who He is to you, who He is within you and what He has done through Christ for you, there's something that comes up on the inside of you that wants to magnify Him. Can you say, man, you want everybody to know how great He is, how good He is, how wonderful He is, how marvelous He is, how matchless He is, how real He is. Hallelujah. Particularly in His relationship to His people. Can you say amen? So Mary was so full of joy. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not to make Him bigger. It's to focus on how big He is. Hallelujah. To begin to get a grip on it. Turn with me to Psalm 34 for just a few moments today. I mean just a few moments today, because God's been bringing this forward in this service all the way from the beginning to this point. As when God brings it forward in your heart, I don't have to work real hard to get it in there. Amen. He's already bringing it forward to you. Praise the Lord. We just have to verify it, validate it with the Word of God. This is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Hallelujah. Amen. When David got into trouble, he praised God. And when he got out of trouble, he praised God for getting him out of trouble. When he was in trouble, he praised God that he had a God to pray to. And he said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. He was magnifying the Lord instead of the problem that he was facing. And he had those emotional hits just like we do, those emotional lows, those circumstances that seem so overwhelming. And when circumstances overwhelmed him, he would speak to himself about magnifying God and getting God back in focus. And he'd say things like, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And then he begins to magnify the Lord. Here it comes. For thou, O Lord, has been a refuge for me. Amen. You've been a hiding place from all of mine enemies. And he began to talk about how God had delivered him in times past. Can you say amen? And he began to magnify him. And when you magnify the Lord, you can't do it simultaneously. You can't put your troubles under a microscope when you got God in the telescope. You didn't hear me today. I said you can't look at your trouble through a microscope when you're looking at God through a telescope. Your eyes won't do that. I know they roll around sometimes in the service, but they can't look two places at one time. Can you say amen? So David said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And when people saw him down, they said, why don't you flee like a bird? Why don't you fly away? Why don't you just take flight and run like crazy? And David said, how say ye unto my soul, fly away to your mountain. I don't need to fly away from trouble. I've got a God who said to David, I will be with you in trouble. So he began to magnify the Lord. I'm going to challenge you not to wait for your circumstances to change. Get your circumstances out from under the microscope and get God in the telescope. Can you say amen? You won't make him bigger. You will see how big he is. And when you begin to see how big he is, you'll begin to understand that if he's in control, if he's the one that is keeping you, if he's the one, the God who said, let there be a firmament, and everything they're discovering out there now more and more, how big and vast our universe is. There's a God who said, let there be, and there was. And the Bible said all the world should fear him and stand in awe of him, for he commanded, he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. He did that with his word. And the Bible said he watches over his word to perform it. Praise God. And this is the word of God that he's sending to us. And the Bible said it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Can you say amen? It's amazing to me that we can have so much word and not have the proper view of God, so the word doesn't have the import and impact that God wants it to have. He's the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And the Bible said there's nothing too hard for him. Well, there couldn't be anything too hard for him. If he can create a firmament with his word, all he has to do in your life is command the blessing. You say, well, I don't know how in the world God could get me out of this. Or I don't know if God will get me out of this. I want to challenge you to quit wondering, worrying, and start magnifying. What would happen if we did that consistently? Listen to Psalm 34. David just got out of trouble, and now he's going to thank God and magnify. I will bless the Lord. Hard part coming up. I will bless the Lord when everything goes well with me. I mean, you know, he's doing this now that he's out of trouble, but he did this in trouble as well. He would always come back to magnifying the Lord. Amen. He said he felt what we feel. I love James, the book of James, because it tells about Elijah who prayed that God would shut heaven and open it up. And God shut the heavens and opened it up in his prayer and so many other things. He said he was a man of like passions as we are. Amen. Isn't that incredible? This man that prayed and fire came out of heaven and consumed that sacrifice and lapped up the water. Amen. He was just like us. Isn't that incredible? We seem to have him on some kind of pedestal that he had this walk with God. He didn't have the same weaknesses of the flesh. The Bible said he was a man subject to the like passions as we are. And if you don't believe it, he just, he's just like us. Look at somebody and say, he's just like you. Now look back at yourself and say, he's just like me too. You want to know how much like us he is? He saw that fire fall out of heaven. Amen. One paragraph prayer. Took him a minute to pray it. And God sent fire out of heaven, visibly, literally, consumed the sacrifice, lapped up the water, proved that he was the true and living God. He was the God that made man instead of a man-made God. Can you say amen? And magnified his name in the presence of the enemy. And you know what he got next? He got a letter from Jezebel that said, I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to kill you. And where does he go? After seeing God manifest like that, where does he go next? He goes into a cave. He gets discouraged. He gets the mully grubs. He's complaining. I'm the only prophet left in Israel, and they're going to kill me. Just like us. Can you say, man? He was subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed. Everybody say he prayed. He prayed. See, you don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. Spiritually Perfect to pray. Amen. What time I'm afraid, what do I do? I will pray. I will call upon the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will put my trust in you. I cried unto the Lord. Listen, I cried unto the Lord. I didn't stand on that mountain and say, I don't have problems. All I have is answered. Amen. Some phony kind of confession. Amen. That makes you independent from God and dependent on your faith rather than dependent on God and knowing that your faith can't fail when you depend on him because he is faithful. Can you say amen? I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from how much? All of my fears. Every time the Bible says fear not, it's talking about fear management, how to manage fear. So fear doesn't conquer us. It's not talking about never being afraid because that's impossible. No one has such highly developed faith that they never have to deal with fear. No one. Well, what about Brother So-and-so? His faith, have you read his books? Have you listened to tapes? Have you seen him when he has a financial need on television? Have you seen him? Everything is focused on that. Why? Because he's afraid the bills won't be met. If he wasn't afraid, he wouldn't be talking 45 minutes out of the hour about the seed for the need. He'd be talking about the God who meets the need. The God who hears from heaven. the God who sponsors what we do, the God who opens doors that no man can shut. Can you say amen? He'd be magnifying the Lord instead of whining to us. I don't like to hear preachers whine, including me. Every time I hear me whine, I know what's coming. Same thing that happened to Elijah in the cave. Amen. He wanted God to come and console him. He wanted God to come and pity him. He wanted to have a pity party. He was already giving himself one. He wanted to invite God to his pity party. Let me tell you something. God, you can give him all the invitations you want. God won't come to your pity party. But if you magnify him, he's going to come. He's going to come, and he's going to come with healing in his wings. He's going to come with help and deliverance if you magnify him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, David said. Let us exalt his name together. Can you say amen? I was going through nervous exhaustion, and I couldn't get a deliverance. I rebuked devils. I bound enemies. I stood on the word. I confessed the truth. Amen. But I would find myself questioning God in my heart because the healing wasn't manifesting. Amen. God decided to take me through that valley rather than to deliver me from it. And looking back, I know why. Because I would have fell back into the habits that produced that in the first place. Amen. I would have fell right back into those habits. God even tried to get my attention, to get me out from under stress, but I didn't know what it was doing to me. I was going on adrenaline and anointing and caffeine and sugar. And I'm not talking about Pamela's either. I'm talking about the granulated kind. Amen. I was running, pizza and Pepsi at 10 o'clock. Because that's when the phone quit ringing, I could relax and my stomach just kind of unknot. Hallelujah. And at 10 o'clock at night with our children, we'd order a pizza from Domino's on the weekend and you get 2-for-1 and a big Pepsi with it. Yeah, give me the whole 9 yards. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they bring it to the house and we eat pizza. We don't eat supper. This is not supper. This is just eating for fun. This is pizza for fun. You ever eat anything just for fun? Yeah. Yeah, the man says, yeah. There wouldn't be Dairy Queens if you couldn't eat for fun. Can you say, Matt? And some of the desserts Sister Ruth makes, that's got to be eaten for fun. Amen. But I remember we would, I could go on that. I'd get up the next morning, I'd be sluggish. I'd grab me a cup of coffee and take off. And sugar and coffee and caffeine and just keep going and going. And then the anointing would kick in when I preach. Amen. And I was going. And a man that I led to the Lord, not led to the Lord, a man that I had come to the Lord with without his knowledge. We used to steal oranges together. We didn't steal a lot of oranges. We took a 1947 Dodge, and it didn't have enough gas to get up and down the hills and to Notasassa. And he would drive up a hill, turn the key off, and let it coast to the bottom of the hill, and then turn the key back on at the bottom so we could go up the next one. Amen. And it would backfire. Pow! When he turned the key back on. 1947 Dodge. And there we were, desperados. We're going to get a bag of oranges. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible said stolen waters are sweet. I've never tasted oranges that sweet, except when we used to steal watermelons from old man McCraney. Amen. We didn't steal a lot, maybe 2 or 3 a year. He never missed them. He grew hundreds of them. But when we went out in that field at night and got one of those watermelons and took it somewhere in the moonlight and opened it up and ate it with our hands and spit out the seeds, oh, I've never tasted a watermelon. No wonder temptation is hard to defeat, because the Bible said stolen waters are sweet to the taste. Can you say, man, we thought we were big time bad guys. Boy, we're out here. We pick a few oranges, put it in a bag. I mean, I'm not even a bushel, because we didn't want to stay long because we'd made a lot of noise getting there. Pow, pow, pow. And hope we had enough gas to get back home in that Dodge. I don't know where all of this was going, but it'll come to me directly. Can you say, man? That man that was in the, it was my cousin and another guy. And the other guy, he was kind of a wild, woolly type guy. Amen. And so he was pursuing just the wild life. We thought it was wild to do what we were doing. I'm going to tell you something. We were pretty tame, amen, compared to today when they're hijacking cars and doing what they're doing. But anyway, this other guy, he chose the wild life. And I remember meeting him. There was a gospel meeting in Tampa, and I met him. And he was up front praying for people, and I got up there praying for people that had come to Christ. And I looked over, and I thought, man, that guy is saved. And he looked over at me and says, man, that guy is saved. And we looked at each other and thought, you're saved, you're saved. And we embraced as brothers in Christ. Amen. We had something in common. Let him that steals, steal no more. And I knew I wasn't going with him, and he wasn't going with me if I was going to steal any oranges or watermelons. Amen. Something had changed. We had met Christ. 2 years later, he shows up at our church. I'm in my office. He just comes up, and suddenly he appears. He comes in and said, I was driving in this neighborhood. I saw your name on the sign out front, Pastor Robert Venable, on that old Holy Church of God sign. And he said, I had to come talk to you. He said, I prayed the Lord would show me how to contact you. He said, the Lord has put you on my heart. And he sat down, and tears ran down his cheeks. He said, the Lord's told me to tell you that you're pushing too hard. You're pushing too hard. You've got to get your rest. And I thought, I'll do that. I took it to heart a little bit because I felt so strong. I felt like I could bench press a Buick. Amen. I felt energy every day. Caffeine, sugar, and the anointing all blended together. Didn't know when God stopped and the caffeine kicked in. Can you say amen? And I was running like everything. I was trying to do jail ministry, trying to do a radio ministry. Some of it live, where I had to be at the station each day, jail ministry, missions in Haiti, and my church, and every time a little door would open, I'd run through it. I was misinterpreting good things as God things. God didn't call us to do everything, but he called us to do something, and we need to figure out what the something is. If you find a missionary to Honduras, they're not interested in Haiti. Have you ever noticed? Amen. They are not at all interested in Haiti because their calling is Honduras. Amen. And they're not going to talk to you about India or Haiti or world missions because their focus and their calling is where God has set their heart. Amen. So we're to abide in the calling wherein we are called. Amen. And I'm called to be a pastor evangelist to the body of Christ. Mostly pastor, but now with the media, I introduce myself as pastor evangelist. And God just blessed us, and he blessed me with open doors, and I tried to go through every one of them, and I didn't give heed to the warning. And on the way back from a mission trip to Haiti, that's when the sickness began. The nerve sickness began. I thought I was dying. Every part of me. I mean, 10 years I went through this before a full recovery has come. And God took me through all of those years. 10 years. Maybe I'm thick. Maybe it takes a long lesson to get it through to me, but it's finally getting through to me. What I used to hold like this, I hold like this before the Lord. Can you say amen? It's the Lord's. This ministry is the Lord's. Make no mistake about it. It's not mine. It's his. I come here as an under shepherd just to serve him, but this ministry is his. Oh, by the way, you're not my children either. You're not my sheep. No, you're not. You're God's sheep. Oh, thank God. You're his sheep. Hallelujah. Your needs are too great for me to meet. Amen. Too complicated. I'm so glad you belong to him. You're the sheep of his pasture. You're the people of his hand. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I am a shepherd in the sense of being a bell sheep. I love to explain that to people, what a pastor is. Amen. The shepherd would have all of these sheep, and there was one sheep that would follow the shepherd so close. And you know how he usually got that kind of committed sheep? He usually took the rebel of the bunch. By the way, if you ever meet, start talking with pastors, boy, some of them were some hard cases. God took some hard cases to make pastors. And he took them through some hard times to humble them down. Some of them came to Christ in jail. I read an article the other day that said the next Billy Graham might be a drunk. Right now. Right now he may be an alcoholic. But when he comes to Christ and he's delivered and set free, he that's forgiven much loves much. Can you say amen? And you people that have known the pain that sin brings, hallelujah, they follow the shepherd even more closely because they know the joy of salvation. Hallelujah. If a sheep was rebellious and you couldn't keep him in the pen, he would jump over the pen at night, and the shepherd therefore couldn't care for him and watch over him and protect him. You know what he would do if nothing else, if all else failed? He would go lay that sheep down on its side, break that front leg. Oops. That rebel heart begins to soften. But after he broke that leg, he would bind it up. But the sheep couldn't put pressure on it. Now, this is to keep it from being killed by wolves. This is the ancient way. Amen? Don't call the SPCA. I wouldn't break a sheep leg either. This is the ancient way. And you know what it was to do? To save it. If it won't stay in the pen at night, guess what's waiting out there where the shepherd can't keep it safe? There's a bear waiting. There's a wolf waiting. There's a lion waiting. There's a wolf pack waiting for that sheep that wanders out into the night. They're just waiting. They know as long as the shepherd, oh, by the way, and the shepherd's watch care is something to behold. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. They don't just have a gate. I am the gate. They don't just have a door. I am the door of the sheepfold. Amen. There was a narrow opening into where they brought them at night for protection. And there was no gate on it. But they came through that narrow. They could only come through single file, one by one. And he counted them. Hallelujah. Amen. And if there were 99 out of 100 he was caring for, what does he do? He leaves the 99, not forsakes them. He leaves them in the safety. Amen. And he goes and searches for the one. How long does he do that before he gives up and said, that hard-headed old sheep, if they're going to be so stubborn, I'm not even going to look for them anymore. It said he searches till he finds it. Some of you are saved right now because he didn't give up on you. Can you say, man, you're here right now because God's stubborn love just didn't give up on you. A lot of people gave up on you. You might even give up on yourself, but God didn't give up on you. See, I'm magnifying the Lord today. I'm telling you what his love is like today. His power is like. His peace is like. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. But when he found that one, he would put it, he would bring it back to the sheepfold, and then he laid down in that passageway in. That means a sheep couldn't get out without him knowing it, and no predator could get in without him knowing it. He was the door. His own body became the door. Praise God. I am the door of the sheepfold. Hallelujah. Through me they go out and they come in. Praise God. It's good to have the Lord as your shepherd. Can you say, Matt? Magnify him. Don't put your troubles under the microscope. Amen. Get God in view in the telescope of his word and see him as the mighty, majestic God. And this God that created heaven and earth with his word is passionately in love with you and me. And Paul knew that. And he said, if God loved us enough and showed it to us in such a vivid way that he would give his only begotten son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Can you say amen? My faith takes a hold of the fact that God is able and God is willing. Can you say, man, God is able because he's almighty and all-powerful. God is willing because he's all-loving and all-merciful. Can you say, man, put them together and your faith stands up. Hallelujah. And takes hold of his promises. And they're yea and amen. to them that believe. But you have to magnify him for your faith to stand up. Ever heard a prayer request that went on and on and on and on as the trouble has magnified? God knows the details. And we don't have 2 hours to listen to it. It makes you feel better for a minute. But you're still down in that deep, dark, dismal. That's a brand new word. Put it down. We'll put it in the dictionary. That abominable pit. Can you say, man? We're still in the horrible pit. Listen, I'm not expecting you to come in here and put on. I am expecting you to come in here and give God his due. He's a mighty God. He's a merciful God. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. He's a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. He's a delivering God. And we need to magnify him. You say, I've been praying for a long time. That's because you're impatient and you have need of patience. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. When's he coming? When he's good and ready. In the meantime, magnify him. He didn't come immediately to deliver me. He didn't heal me through some of the greatest healing ministries in the business, because I traveled miles to get in the lines. And hands were laid on me, and oil was put on me. Brother Hobbs one day decided to anoint me like they anointed David. He said, I'm going to obey the Lord. And he took the whole bottle, and we had one of the big bottles of oil, and he poured it over my head. And I mean the whole thing. I could have got a part in Grease after that movie, because I'll tell you, when I pushed that oil out of my hair, my shirt, my pants, my drawers, it was a lot of oil. I had to change everything. I had to take a shower. I had to shampoo 3 times, and I still felt some oiliness up in there. I don't know if it's God or not, but I was humble enough to accept it, and I believe God rewarded me for it. It didn't get me out of my trouble. It would have been great if it had got me out of my trouble. He obeyed God. I expected I still had to go through with the Lord. But when he did deliver me, in his time, in his way, with the lessons he wanted to teach me, amen, he brought me out of that. Hallelujah. And I used to sweat with the air conditioner on. 70. And I'm sweating. I'll do a little sweating here today, but I used to sweat through my armpit. I used to sweat through. I could feel it dripping when I stood up to preach, because I felt the pressure, you know, of just what it involved. I don't feel that today. Amen. I got on some deodorant just in case, but I don't feel that today. Can you say amen? I don't feel that pressure. You know why? You know why? Because right now, It's not how I come over. I'm here to magnify him. I'm here to point you to him and away from me. If you go away here and say, boy, that was a great sermon. Well, that's good. I think it's appropriate when something touches your heart. But if you don't go away from here saying, our God is so great. Our God is so wonderful. Our God is so marvelous. Our God is something else, man. Hallelujah. That's what you need to go away from here with. If I achieve what God sent me to do, the focus will get off of me in a hurry, and it'll get on him. Can you say amen? Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It is Jesus down in my soul. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what happens, looking away from all that will distract and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. So I decided I'm going to go to PTL. I'm going to stay for a week on the grounds. I'm going to do nothing but seek God. This is a Christian campus. They even got a prayer room that I'd been in. And you go into a little closet and just pray. They got Bibles in it. It's quiet, soft lighting, soft music. I'm going to get away from everything that will distract. I want to focus on the Lord. And I had my budget, my gas money, my motel money. But when I got to PTL, I found out it was no longer for people like me at that point in time, because the hotel was too expensive. And with the taxes on to it, I couldn't have stayed but a couple of days instead of 5 days. So I went out of PTL to a La Quinta Inn. And I said, I can stay here. And it's nice. There's nothing wrong with it. I was just wanting to stay in that total Christian atmosphere. 38 degrees and raining and gray in the Carolinas. 38, rain, and gray. And I'm blue, and it's gray. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you add all that together. I'm cast down. It's gray. It's rainy. I can't even stay in PTL because I don't have the money. Poor, broke, and bewildered. They asked Daniel Boone, who trailed the Appalachian Trail. They said, were you ever lost in the wilderness? He said, no, but I was bewildered for 3 days. Well, I didn't get lost from God, but I've been bewildered. I didn't know what he was up to and what I was supposed to do next. And I came back into that motel room, and the heat hadn't brought it up yet, and it was cold. And I had got my stuff out of the car, and I was damp from the 38-degree wet, cold. And when the clouds come down to Carolinas, it looked like they're sitting just about like this ceiling right here, sitting right down on you. And everything's oppression. And I walked in that room with a bad case of the poor old me's. Poor old me, I don't have the money to even stay in the place. Poor old me, I've been praying and praying, the answer hadn't come through. Come on, we all get it. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed. In the will of God. He had enough faith to pray when the time come. Amen. Listen very carefully. And that pressure was on. I walked in. I just sat down on the bed. I sat my Bible beside me. And I'm sitting there wanting the Lord to console me. And he did. But he did it kind of like he did Elijah. Elijah was looking for consolation. And God said, what are you doing here? That amazing thing for God to say somebody hurting so bad. What are you doing here? Because if God feeds the thing that's discouraging you, you're just going to keep a spirit of discouragement on you. But if he challenges you, kind of in a bracing way, hey! Amen? Hey! Why would he do that? Why would he say, what are you doing here? Instead of, oh, dear Lord, I feel so sorry. They're trying to kill you. I don't know what I'm going to do and what you're going to do. Now, what are you doing here, he says. What are you doing here? See, get your mind off that ladder. Get your mind off that trouble. Magnify me. Get me in view. Get your trouble out from under the microscope. Get me in the telescope. Hallelujah. Amen. And that man rose up. Walked outside. When he rose up and walked outside that cave, an angel came. He was emaciated. He was starving to death spiritually and physically. Amen. And an angel came with food, and he ate the food. Amen. And he went on the strength of it for 40 days. He didn't fast for 40 days necessarily. He went on the strength of that meal for 40 days. Incredible deliverance. And the next time you see Elijah, he's magnifying God. Can you say amen? Oh, he's in a cave all right, but he ain't hiding from nobody. They send 50 troops to capture this one man. Ahaz does. Which is the puppet of Jezebel. We see a lot of Ahaz people, men today, they're puppets of a Jezebel. Amen. We need to be, let God pull the strings. Not no woman, no man, but God do that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And 50 of them come up and said, man of God, the king demands you. He said, if I be a, he walks out. And the timidity's gone when he magnifies them. The boldness comes. Can you say amen? He said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall and consume you and your 50. The fire fell and they fell dead. He walked right back in his cave. Wasn't a cave of discouragement anymore, just a place he's hanging out till this thing was over. Sent another 50. Man of God, the king demands you come with us. In other words, you come or we're coming in to get you. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall on you and your 50. And the fire fell and consumed them. Wow. The Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Can you say amen? He sends another 50. But the leader of this 50 has to work for the king because he's been conscripted to. But in his heart, he worships the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, listen, listen, man of God, listen to me. Amen. And he told him about his faith. See, that's what he told him in the cave. They may not be out in the public eye, but I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. Don't ever think you're the only one. Don't ever think you're the only one in trouble or the only one going through anything or the only one that's standing for God or the only one that seems to be getting a raw deal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You look at all these people talking about blessings. You say, Lord, what about me? My dad called the other night, and he prayed for a lady that isn't really living for God. And she said that the sickness left, and she slept like a baby. She called him for prayer because she knows he's a Christian. I thought he was going to magnify the Lord for answered prayer, or that she had enough confidence in him to call him. And you know what he did? He just turned the thing around. I'm working with him. He's a work in progress. Oh, Lord, what a challenge. Amen. Almost like pastoring a church. Amen. So I told him, I said, Dad, that's wonderful. And he said, Well, if God answers my prayers for her and she's not a godly woman, why don't he answer prayers for me? I thought, well, probably because of that attitude. You're not magnifying him, you're questioning him. Learn to magnify him. There are people in this room that need to get your trouble out from under the microscope and get God under the telescope so that you can see how great he is. And you can see how David said, you got to do this for yourself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Can you say, man? David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee. Everybody say to boast in him. Hallelujah. To magnify literally means to make large. To praise. Now, when I say make large, I don't mean to exaggerate God. You can't. You can't possibly do that. But it means to bring into view how big he really is, how majestic, how mighty. It means to honor. It means to boast about. It means to lift up. It means to promote. It means to declare great. Everybody say to declare great. That's why in the book of Isaiah, it said he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Therefore, I will appoint unto him a portion with the great. Can you say, man? David went on to say, my soul will make her boast in thee, O Lord. Amen? And the humble, not in the positive, but in the negative sense of that word. In the ancient Hebrew, it meant those crushed by life, those whose lives have become crushed because of the circumstances of life, divorce, death, a jail sentence, a ruined financial condition, whatever it is, crushed by life, my soul shall make her boast in thee because I've been crushed. I've been hunted like a deer. My son turned against me. My fellow countrymen joined his army. They hunted me down to kill me. And if it wasn't for God, I couldn't have come through this. And David magnified the Lord in that trouble. He glorified him. He said, I'll bless him at all times. You can't just bless him sometimes. You got to bless him all times for God to come through like this. You can't be wishy-washy, and I can't either. My flesh is wishy-washy, but my spirit is being built up in the Word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be what? Continually. I don't begin prayer with petition. I begin it with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. 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 In all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request. Oh, come on, church, with thanksgiving. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see. See for yourself that the Lord is good, but magnify the Lord with me. If you want this to happen in your life, you got to do it with me. You can't just watch me do it. You got to do it with me. Come on, you got to enter into this thing with me. Come on, church. You got to do it with me. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together so that the deliverance that he's doing in my life can take place in your life. He's not doing it because I'm special and you're not. He's doing it because I'm magnifying it. There came a point I had to praise him anyhow. He told me in that motel room when I sit down with the poor old me's, he said, magnify me in my name above your troubles and your circumstances. And he didn't say it in a coddling way. He got my attention. He got my attention. I needed somebody to tell me you can't justify not magnifying the Lord. If you want the change to come, praise him anyway. His mercies are new every morning. Praise him every time you get. Don't get up and say, good morning, Lord. Good Lord, morning. Get up and say, good morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, David said. His praise will never leave my lips. The New Testament says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that that's good to the building up. David said, this will build people up. They're going to hear about it. They're going to be glad. They knew the condition I was in. They saw God come through. Can you say amen? What about you today? What if we had a video camera? What if a secret video camera videoed our, and audio too, so that everything we said and did, I don't mean, stuff, you go to the bathroom, things like that. I'm not talking about going to the bathroom. I'm just talking about in your living room through the course of the day. Our words, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I find if we start discussing a problem, one of us has to break it. One of us has to say, whoa, 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 Nelly. Let no corrupt. What is corrupt communication? Is it just the four-letter words, the expletives that we used to use? No, no, when we're angry, mad, no, no. It's those words filled with doubt, fear, unbelief, and that can bring not only your spirit down, but bring everybody around you down. But the Bible said, magnify the Lord. His praise will be always where? Not just in my heart, it's going to be in my mouth. It's got to come out your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This poor man cried, verse 6 said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want. There is no want to them that fear him, that reverence him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Magnify the Lord even when you are persecuted. You know what Jesus taught? Before I read this psalm, Jesus said, when people cast out your name as evil for righteousness, say, now this is hard for me because I really wish everybody loved me. They don't. I wish everybody liked me. I'll take light. They don't. I wish no one spoke evil about me or told any lies on me. They do. And Jesus said, when they do it for righteousness' sake, here we go magnifying the Lord instead of, oh, poor me, or oh, bad them. No, oh, great him. Can you say amen? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Said, if all men speak well of you like they do a certain preacher that I've named 100 times, I don't need to name him again, you have no reason to rejoice. They spoke well of the false prophets that came before you. But when they really get angry at you, lie on you, cast your name out as something evil, and it's for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. When I went along with the flow, when I was part of the world, did what the world did, shared its values, I didn't have an enemy that I knew of anywhere. Can you say amen? But when I got saved, I didn't just get them in the world. I got them in the church. Amen. Jesus said your enemies will be they of your own household. It's going to get real close and personal. And when it happens, rejoice. Rejoice! Somebody's thinking right now, he must have had a bad week. He sure is rejoicing this morning. Praise God. I want to rejoice when I have a good week and rejoice when I have a bad week. Amen. Because God is still on the throne. And the Bible said he is able to take everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, and make it work together for my good and his glory. If I will praise him, magnify him, not give up on him. Hallelujah. He's going to come. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. I don't know what God's going to do for you. I don't know how he can get you out of the pickle that you're in. It's beyond me. That's why I'm glad I'm one of his bell sheep, and you're his sheep. Praise God. Can I finish the story of the sheep before we conclude this? That sheep that was rebellious in the ancient times, there was no pills for those hyperactive, rebellious-hearted sheep. They'd jump out of the pen. They'd go out there and get themselves killed. Shepherd loved them too much to let that happen. In love, he broke the front leg. Everybody say, oh, hurt, hurt. Just think of the hurt when a wolf grabbed the throat without the shepherd's care. Just think of the hurt when the bear slapped that sheep down and pounced on it. Think of the hurt when a lion jumped on its back and bit it behind the neck and shook it until all life left and devoured it. The shepherd said, I don't want that to happen. That sheep will not stay in. I'll tie it. I put a yoke on it. It finds a way. It breaks its leg. And then he binds it up. Somebody say, what a good God. He binds it up. And then, every time they go out to pasture and come in, guess what he does with that sheep? He picks that bad boy up, that big boy. I'm not talking about a little lambsy-whamsy. I'm talking about a sheep with a rebel heart here. He picks it up, throws it over his shoulders, and he carries it out. He takes it and lays it by the still water so it can get a drink. He makes him to lay down in green pasture. Can you say, man? He restores its soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know what happens? That rebellious sheep with such a hard heart that it took such trouble and pain to get him to stay that close to the shepherd. You know what happens between that sheep and that shepherd while that front paw is mending? You know what's happening? A bond of love. That sheep says, I am totally dependent on this man's mercy. Amen. To feed me. To take care of me. Amen. And that man is holding that sheep closer than any of the other sheep while the mending process is going on. And when that sheep is able to walk, guess what? When the shepherd stands up and gets ready to move, guess what is the first sheep? Amen. To jump in line to follow that sheep. He said, there goes my man. Hallelujah. Whatever his name is, my man. Here we go. I'm coming. Come on. Let's go. He's going to take me out, bring me in, keep me safe. I love that man. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't get me loose from that man. I want to stay as close as I can to that man. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's not taking my freedom from me. He's giving me what real freedom is. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to fear as long as I'm close to that man. You know what he does with that sheep? He ties a bell around its neck. So when he begins to walk out from watering the sheep or pasturing them, amen, the first sheep to follow is the bell sheep. Ding, 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 ding. And the other sheep hear the bell and say, there they go, and they fall in line. Paul put it this way, follow me as I follow Christ. And what did it take to get his attention? He's on his way to kill more Christians, and there was a light brighter than, it wasn't fun. Can you say, well, I'd like to see a vision like that, honey. You wouldn't want to see what he saw because it put his eyes out. It burned his eyes out. Can you say, man? I said it burned his eyes out. He couldn't see after that. He was blind. pain and pressure was brought to bear on him. But down on his face, he said, Lord. And he cried out. And listen, that guy was a chief persecutor after that experience, became one of the chief apostles of the faith. He became a bell sheep. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. The next Billy Graham might be a drunk right now. He might be a drug addict right now. He might be an atheist right now. He might be a God-hater blasphemer right now. But things can change on the road to Damascus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Who's going to fill these gaps? Who are going to step into these shoes? Be it known unto you that somewhere God is preparing somebody to step up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's got a people, make no mistake about it, that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Let me hurry and finish this. Oh, this is good reading today. Praise the Lord. Magnify him when you're persecuted. Let them be ashamed that brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnified themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. Can you say amen? When you're persecuted, what? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, which is the equivalent of magnifying the Lord. Amen? Don't just call somebody up to get them to pity you because you've been persecuted. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord so that he can do what? So he can come and deliver you, because that's the language of faith. Faith will never discredit God, dishonor God, disrespect God. It'll always acknowledge him. Let me close with this. Oh, you got to do it with a thankful heart. Psalm 69 verse 30 said, I will praise the name of the God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With when I'm in trouble, I'm so glad I have a God who said, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. I invite you to come. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having a God who personally invites me to come boldly before the throne of grace, to obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of need, who says, ask and you shall receive. He challenges, he invites us, but magnify him with thanksgiving. Start your prayer by giving him glory and thanking him. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. In other words, above every offering that can be offered to him, thanksgiving in the form of praise is the choice offering that pleases the Lord. Listen, when a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies, what? Be at peace with him. Why? Because they're going to suddenly love him, appreciate him, and embrace him? No, because they can't go to war against him and prevail. They better come to terms with him. We used to sing in our church when I first got saved, just after the Civil War, way back a long time ago. Can you say, man, when I was a young man? Listen, it was after the Civil War, believe it or not. How many of you got saved after the Civil War? Yeah, well, it wasn't just after. I might have exaggerated just a little. Terry's laughing because he's younger than me. But he's grayer than me, so I get the last laugh. Can you say, man? It kind of evens out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Honor. I have to honor him because of his hair. I know that. And he has to honor me because of my age. It all levels out. Praise God. But God's been good to me. Satan been biting, trying to gnaw on me from day one. He has never let up. I got to give credit to my adversary. He's never let up. Jesus said he's not going to let up. Amen. And listen to this. Don't just give this to Peter. Jesus said Satan had desired to have you. He said it to Peter, but he said it in the plural sense when he said it. He's talking about every believer throughout all time. Satan has desired to have all of you in the actual Greek. Come on. He make no mistake, every believer has a potential testimony that can plunder hell and populate heaven. He's going to persecute you, come against you, do everything he can. That's why it's so vital that we just magnify the Lord anyhow. Because if we'll magnify the Lord, he's bigger than all our mountains. He's bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than all those demons and minions in hell. He's able to subject everything to his supreme will and subdue it to himself. And if he's pronounces a blessing, no one can cause the curse to cancel it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord. You want to crucify the flesh? Bless the Lord at all times. You want to nail that old guy to the cross? Quit complaining and start magnifying. Amen. Whosoever's praise glorifies me. To him that orders his conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation, the deliverance of my God. God came through for David again and again and again and again. And David said, let's magnify him. No matter what's going on, what trouble we're in, magnify the Lord with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's be consistent in our faith and express that consistent faith through persistent praise and consistent praise. Can you praise God anyhow? Say, praise God anyhow. Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet today? Glory to God. I'm going to ask if there's anyone in our midst that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, and if God is dealing with your heart, we have an invitation for you to come and kneel, and we'll pray with you. Because he's calling from the four corners of the earth. He's calling like he's never, ever called. So many countries, so many nations, so many peoples. Whoever will hear, he calls to come and drink of the river of life. There's no life like the life that is lived with the certainty of salvation and the certainty of God's help here until we get to heaven. There's no way to live your life like that except through coming to Christ, having your sins forgiven. Is there anyone in this room that needs Jesus as your personal Savior? Anyone? Anyone in this room? Is there anyone in this room that wants to be more consistent in your faith? You want to learn how and begin to endeavor to praise God more in your circumstance and not wait for something to change, but be the agent of change in the sense that you magnify the Lord. He'll keep his word to you because you've just ascribed unto him faithfulness. You've ascribed unto him sovereign authority. You've ascribed unto him the greatness of his name. And when you're delivered, make no mistake about it, his name is magnified. Amen. When I go and tell what God's done for me, his name is magnified. Hallelujah. When I tell what he's done for my son, his name is magnified. Praise God. And preachers love to hear it just as much as anybody else. When I tell preachers at these pastors meeting with 50 or 60 ministers and I tell what the Lord has done, I can see their faith rising up because their God, our God, is being magnified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We forget, we get out of the poor old me's and all of this bad stuff, and we start talking about him and his mercy, his grace, his majesty, his goodness, his covenant to 1,000 generations. How many people in this room will say, Pastor, I want you to keep challenging me to magnify the Lord. I want to be challenged in this meeting. I know you love me, and I know you're not going to slap me upside the head like you did yourself. Because, number one, you're too old to slap anybody anymore. But number two, I want to know I'm loved in this room. And I want to know I'm not patronized. And I don't want to know no one's talking condescendingly down to me because I have troubles or I have doubt or I have fears or I haven't got it just right. But there's somebody here that cares for my soul and wants to see my victory come. Because it's all our victory. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us rises up, we all rejoice. Can you say amen? And we're to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another. Not judge or condemn or try to figure out. but just pray. Just pray. Just pray. I wonder what's wrong with Sister Hoopendicker. Oh, and I wonder what's wrong with Brother Hoggenslop. Amen. I don't know what's happened to him. He must have done. No, leave all that to God. Leave it to God who looks upon the heart. Our job is to intercede till the victory comes. And when the victory comes, to rejoice with them that rejoice. Can you say amen? May not be nothing wrong. It just might be an attack of the enemy. And we can come alongside in intercession and see him defeated. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many people, once again, raise your hand. Let God see it. You want to magnify him more. Amen. Right in your situation. He's God Almighty. Oh, God sees those hands. More importantly, he sees those hearts today. When this church becomes a God magnifying church, no matter what we're facing or going through, God is going to come through. I don't know how. I don't know when. Oh, Lord, but I know you are faithful. And I'm going to declare you as faithful. Praise the Lord. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for you. Let your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, not if you come through it, but when you come through it, praise God, strengthen your brethren. The humble are going to hear about it, crushed by life. They're going to be glad because they said, if God can do it for that guy, if God can do it for that gal, God can do it for me. Can you say amen? They ain't nobody special except they're special to the Lord, just like every believer. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Elijah was just like us, but he prayed to a God that he magnified. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's give him praise. How many want to be sold out once again? There's something sweet to quit off on. You want to be sold out to the Lord? Can you say sold out? Let's sing this song together just before we leave if you have to go. Are you glad you came? I'm going to challenge you. Praise God. I'm going to challenge me. Let's sing it before the Lord today.